Hi, this is Pastor Chris. Welcome to Strength for Today from Living Hope Baptist Church in Geneva, New York. Today is Wednesday, April 1st, 2020. Can you remember a time when you were really, really scared? I can. It happened many years ago while my family and I were living in Mongolia. It was early October, and I had decided it was finally the right time to grant a wish for our son Jonan and take him and the rest of the family deep into the Gobi Desert to see the Flaming Cliffs, a site famous for its dinosaur fossils. The morning we left the capital, Ulaanbaatar, was overcast, but it was relatively warm, and we were all in a good mood as we motored through the outskirts of the city and then left the pavement and the houses and gares, those Mongolian tents, behind us. By noon, we had reached the desert. Now, the Gobi Desert is a cold desert situated on a high plateau and reminding me of the barren patches of dirt on which I played soccer with my schoolmates as a child. Though with one big difference, in Seattle where I grew up, it would rain and the dirt would turn into mud. In the Gobi, it doesn't rain. Oh, it is flat. Oh my, is it flat. And after an hour or two of driving, the hills to the north vanished behind us, and everything gained that dreary monotony, the gray of the sky above and the brown of the dirt below. We traveled several hours south, following a track that had been ground into the dirt by jeeps and lorries, and then it began to grow dark. That is when I saw the first snowflake, a small flake, just a speck of white, nothing like the big fluffy flakes I often see here in New York. I pulled our van over for a break and stepped out, and as the darkness deepened, I saw that the sky had transformed from a uniform gray into dark rolling clouds that hovered ominously close to the ground, as though they carried a weight that refused to permit them to rise. A light snow had started to fall, and a fresh wind had kicked up, making those specks of white dance and twirl across the barren backdrop. I didn't want to abandon our trip, but I was growing a bit apprehensive. I had heard stories, who hadn't, of Mongolians trapped in blizzards in the Gove. Nationals who had grown up here becoming disoriented and hopelessly lost until they succumbed to the cold and were frozen. The cold in Mongolia is brutal. Every year, some herders and the flocks they herd freeze to death. And in the depths of winter, the temperature can fall to 40 below zero and gain a wind chill on top of that. But this was October, not yet winter. Still, I felt concerned. So reluctantly, I got back in the van and told the family that we were going to need to abandon the trip. Perhaps we would have another opportunity in the future. I turned the van around and refound those tracks that served as a road, and following them north now, we went back toward the capital, Ulaanbaatar. Soon the sun set, and the world around us fell dark. The kids fell asleep, and I drove on. And as I did, more snow began to fall, and the wind began to be more fierce. I turned off the bright lights so that I wouldn't be blinded by the oncoming snow, and I slowed our speed. The snow fell harder and swirled around us. I slowed down some more. And then finally, the snow was falling so hard and the wind was kicking it around us so fiercely that, even going 5 miles an hour and looking straight down, I could not see the ground. I had no way to see the tracks. If I continued, we could veer miles away from the route and be lost. We might even find ourselves going in circles until we ran out of fuel and froze. We were trapped in a blizzard in the Gobi Desert. I put the van in park and turned to Nicole. "That's it," I said. "I can't drive any further." She nodded, and then I turned and looked back at the kids. Grace, Jonan, and Elam were asleep, and if I'm not mistaken, and honestly I might be because time has dimmed my memory, sorry, our infant son Josiah was strapped in a car seat in the middle. And then that's when the thought hit me. Good grief, I have brought them out here to die. You see, I knew blizzards in Mongolia can last a week, and they can bring frigid temperatures. And I knew our fuel was limited and could not power the van indefinitely. Eventually, the fuel would run out and the heat would dissipate. And I had brought them all out here to die. I turned to Nicole. "I'm going to get out of the car for a second," I said. "Don't worry, I won't leave the side of the van and get lost. I just need to get some fresh air." I got out and closed the door and then slumped toward the ground beside the wheel. I thought I was going to vomit. A huge wave of fear rolled through my core and I braced against it as it hit me. I was really scared. Have you ever been really, really scared? Today, we are turning our attentions again to life principles, those axiomatic statements of biblical truth upon which we can build our lives. The principle I would like to put forward today is this: be brave. Be brave. Growing up in the 1970s, I saw many reruns of black and white films from the 40s. Among these were the propaganda films that glorified military service. I remember watching breathlessly as the Marines stormed the beaches in the South Pacific and fearlessly battled the Japanese. Even when they were hit with a bullet, these soldiers would put on a brave face, only asking to be pushed up against a rock and be given one last cigarette before they died. I watched those movies, and with those Sousa marches still ringing in my ears, I would rush out to do battle outside with an imaginary enemy, a plastic helmet on my head and a wooden gun at my side. And what courage I showed as I stormed beaches, climbed cliffs, and endured battles. But it was all make-believe, of course. I wasn't brave at all. This small boy who faced imaginary enemies with a smirk was consumed at night with fear of murderers and robbers who he was sure waited each night to sneak into our house and attack him. Yep, most nights I cringed alone in fear until I could bear it no longer, and I would run to my parents' room and beg them to let me sleep beside them. I'm sure this memory is exaggerated, but if it is exaggerated in my mind, it is because of the intensity of the fear I experienced. So here I was, an admittedly fearful, timid person. But of course, as I got older, I tried to hide it. I adopted an outward appearance of bravery, equating that with nonchalance. But deep inside, I knew that I was not really brave. And then I became a Christian at the age of 21. And for some time, I gave this matter no thought until one day, as I was reading a book by C.S. Lewis, I read something that startled me. He claimed that cowardice was sin. What? That possibility had never entered my mind, and as a new Christian, it was particularly unsettling. First, I was very sensitive at that time, I hope I still am, to the presence of sin in my life, and I deeply wished to see it exposed and excised by the God's Holy Spirit. And second, cowardice was one of the great flaws I knew myself to have, one that had characterized me for most of my life. But before I explored all that, I had to know whether Lewis was right. So I turned to my Bible. In Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8, John records these words: "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Wow. In the first of those two verses, John records the blessings that will come to the believers, to the regenerate. And then in the second verse, he records the curse that will befall the non-believer, of whom the very first description he gives is the cowardly. Wow. The call for believers to be brave, not cowardly, runs like a golden thread through the scriptures. When Moses gave his final instructions to the people of Israel, he said, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." There's a lot packed in there. First, there's the command to be strong and of good courage. And second, there are the reasons why the Israelites could and should obey the command. The reasons are that Yahweh, the true God, was with them, that Yahweh would not leave them, and that Yahweh would not forsake them. These words caused me to remember Jesus' words to the disciples recorded in John 14. He had just told them some very difficult and, frankly, scary things that were about to happen. He would be betrayed and would die. So to them, in their moment of apprehension, and dare I say fear, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. you believe in God, believe also in me. And then he proceeds to tell them that he will never abandon them, but will rather bring them safely to a wonderful place he has prepared for them. Later in that passage, he adds this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There is one other interesting thing to note in this passage, particularly as we compare it to Deuteronomy and to the words that Moses records. In John 14, verse 8, Philip asks Jesus to show them, that is the disciples, the Father, Yahweh, that is. And Jesus answers, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." This also was something Jesus had long shown them and said to them, but the disciples had failed to grasp. He is Yahweh. This is another reason why disciples of Jesus can boldly, bravely go forward to make disciples, because he is God. And as he says in the Great Commission, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So our principle is be brave. But I think it is appropriate at this point to ask whether or not one can actually choose to be brave, or is it just something you have or don't have? Well, for a long time, I did think it was something you merely had or didn't have. The brave gunslinger in the movie had it, and the cowardly little sidekick did not have it. But that was an erroneous and immature understanding of bravery. I suggest, rather, that bravery is choosing to do the right thing in the face of danger. The experience of fear, in the face of danger is, I think, a God-given biological instinct. Adrenaline pumps, the mind sharpens, and the body is poised, ready to fight or flee. That, as I said, I think is God-given. It is protective, in that it helps us to marshal our physical and psychical resources when we need them. This experience is not sin. But giving fear control of one's spirit is sin. It is antithetical to the trust that believers can and must place in Yahweh. And when one gives control of one's spirit over to fear, one plays the part of coward. A person controlled by fear is a coward. But we expect better of Christians. As Paul writes, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We are to be filled with and led by God's Holy Spirit, even as we have been indwelt, sealed, and baptized by him. So we are called to bravery. Let me apply all this to our present situation. The COVID-19 virus is spreading, and no one knows how many it will kill before it runs its course. The death it brings is horrific, as is the suffering it gives many who survive. This virus is an invisible force around us, impossible to discern with the naked eye. Every interaction can be a harbinger of death. And in this situation, I think it is natural to feel fear. In fact, if you don't feel fear, you probably have not yet grasped the scope or severity of the pandemic. But we Christians must not allow fear to control us, no matter how bad the situation gets. Even if, God forbid, our loved ones die and we ourselves are infected, we must choose to be brave, choosing to be led by the Holy Spirit and not by fear. We can do this because the true God is with us. Yahweh will never leave us or forsake us. He will never abandon us because Jesus purchased us at the cross and we are his. That night in Mongolia, when I stood leaning against the van feeling sick, I remembered all this. I remembered that fear brings death, but trust brings life. And so I confessed my foolishness in bringing my family into that situation, and I asked God to deliver us. And then I chose to trust him and do the next right thing. I got back into the van. It wasn't a gunfight or a battle or South Pacific Island. No one is going to turn this event into a movie. But that night, when I got into the van and did the next right thing and trusted God, I was brave. By his power, through his grace, I was brave. And so now, here we are, in the midst of another storm. I'm not sure exactly how we got here, but we're here. And we're faced with a choice. Will we play the coward, or will we be brave and trust the Lord? Incidentally, the Lord did save me and my family from that blizzard. It's a great story, but it is a story for another time. Remember, be brave today, because you know the best is yet to come. God bless.